I invite you to take your Bibles with me here this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to notice verses 1 through 4 by way of introduction here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and following. And the Lord has laid an interesting message on my heart here for today. But I want to address a matter, we'll give a little historical background on it as well. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. By way of introduction here this morning. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice also chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and following. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, when I was growing up, as a young child, our family, as they celebrated Christmas, would recognize the coming of Santa Claus. You know how the traditional thing is, you know, the cookies would be out and a glass of milk. And so we would wake up in the next morning and one of the cookies would be gone, a bite would be taken out of another one, because after all, Santa, you know, ate quite a bit that night. And half the milk would be gone, and we would realize that Santa Claus had been there. Well, years later, after all of that was taking place, my dad heard a sermon on Santa Claus. And basically the point was this, that if they find out, children find out that Santa Claus is a myth, and what happens when they find out that they can't see Jesus? All of a sudden, that hit my dad. And so the practice of Santa Claus in our household ended right then and there. Well, as our sons were growing up, you can ask our son tonight about this. As our sons were growing up, because of that, I determined Santa Claus would not be allowed into our household one bit. And as a testimony of this, our young sons were in a store with my wife, and it was just before Christmas, and this lady walks up to our sweet, lovable little children out in public. They were always so lovable and never did anything wrong, and of course, they were about a year and a half apart, so that, you know, they were cute, and so this lady walks up to our sons, and I don't remember which son actually responded this way now, but they walked up to our son and said, are you excited about Santa Claus coming? To which our young child replied, there is no Santa Claus. That lady was taken back on that so much that a child was going to say that with so much conviction. She was surprised. She walked away. And even as I was out delivering here this last month, I saw a lot of statements. I believe a few of them had a manger scene with it. Most of them had something in relation to Santa Claus. I want you to think about our world today. I don't remember if it was this last Sunday or 2 weeks ago. One of the apartment complexes on my FedEx route actually had Santa Claus show up, of all times, at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I thought that was interesting. As you notice again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Millions of children all across our world today now, and this morning, are thinking about Santa Claus, not the Lord Jesus Christ, even in a manger. I want you to think about this. I've mentioned this, I believe, in passing here recently, but as a teenager, as a custodian at the high school that I graduated from, our high school was allowed, down in Texas, was allowed to decorate for Christmas. But of course, they were not able to say anything about Christ. As I was walking down the hall just before Christmas break and before everything had been taken off the windows and all that, I saw the phrase Santa Claus on the window, and immediately my mind rearranged the letters. Satan Claus. I mean, it jumped out just as clear as day. That's called an anagram. It's a rearranging of letters to hide secret names. Anagrams actually are a practice of the occult and Satanism. I think that's very interesting. As you think about the title Santa, what does the word Santa mean? I have a Spanish-English Bible with me today. Our King James Bibles have Holy Bible on them. Notice Santa Biblia, Holy Bible. So I think it's interesting. Santa is trying to portray himself as holy. This morning I want for us to kind of go through some of this, the history of this, because our world is mixed up. Our world needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, not a manger scene, but the Lord of glory, even as I emphasized last week. But I think it's interesting how many times this gets even into independent Baptist churches. A pastor of a large Baptist church preached his sermon dressed as Santa Claus. If that ever happens in this pulpit, demand my resignation. If I get all so confused mentally that I dress up as Santa Claus on Christmas Day, you better ask for my resignation. But what is interesting is many churches will have a Christmas play, and then Santa visits the church with gifts for the children. Now, let me ask you, who are those young children, even in a Baptist church, who are they thinking about? They're thinking about Santa Claus, not the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've heard of many bus ministries over the years who have Santa Claus show up, handing out gifts to their children, to the children who ride the bus. I want to give you a little bit of history of Santa Claus. Many think that Santa Claus is just a harmless part of Christmas. Not when you understand the history of Santa Claus. According to legend, Santa began in the 4th century after Christ. Catholic Bishop St. Nicholas was his name. He was a wealthy, generous man from Smyrna, which is now Izmir, Turkey. Very little historical information is known about him, about St. Nicholas, but there are many legends that have developed over the centuries. During the Middle Ages, Catholics actually prayed to him more than any other saint. In fact, from what I read in history, more than 400 churches in England alone were named after St. Nicholas. Only Mary and Christ invoked more prayers from Catholics than St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas is always pictured as a Roman Catholic bishop, totally different from the Santa Claus that we have today. The legend of St. Nicholas was united with old Nordic folk tales of a magician who punished naughty children and rewarded good children with presents. Who finding out whoever is naughty and nice, right? Now, pagan god Thor was also blended into our Santa Claus. A day of the week was named after him. You think about our days of the week now. Thursday. Actually, Thursday was actually set aside in worship of the god Thor. Thor was the most worshipped pagan god in history. The book Scandinavian Mythology said this. It was Thor who, in the last days of heathenism, was regarded as the chief antagonist of Christ. This statement is given from Myths of Northern Lands. It was written in 1895. Again, there's so much that has changed in our culture as far as quote-unquote Christmas today. Thor was the god of the peasants and the common people. He was represented as an elderly man, jovial and friendly, of heavy build with a long white beard. Sound familiar? His element was the fire, his color red. The rumble and roar of thunder were said to be caused by the rolling of his chariot, for he alone among the gods never rode on horseback, but drove in a chariot drawn by two white goats called Cracker and Gnasher. He was fighting the giants of ice and snow, and thus became the Yule God. You ever heard of the term Yuletide greetings? The Yule God. He was said to live in the Northland, where he had his palace among icebergs. By our pagan forefathers, he was considered as the cheerful and friendly God, never harming the humans, but rather helping and protecting them. The fireplace in every home was especially sacred to him, And he was said to come down through the chimney into his element, the fire. Again, that was from the book Myths of Northern Lands, written in 1895. There's another character actually blended into our modern-day Santa Claus. St. Nicholas had a helper who was known by a variety of names. Some of those titles are Dark One, the Dark Helper, Furry Nicholas, and Rough Nicholas, among others. Today's Santa Claus is actually not St. Nicholas, but his Dark Helper. Remember I said that St. Nicholas was always portrayed as a Catholic bishop. In actuality, the appearance of this Dark Helper is the one who is portrayed as Santa Claus today. On the eve of December 6, the myth told that this bearded, white-haired old saint, clad in a wide mantle, rode through the skies on a white horse, together with his slave, the swarthy Dark Helper. This reluctant helper had to disperse gifts to good people, but much preferred to threaten them with his broom-like scourge, and at a sign of his master would gleefully drag sinners away to a place of eternal suffering. It's a quote from a book written in 1995. In certain German children's games, the St. Nicholas figure itself is the Dark Helper, a devil who wants to punish children, but is stopped from doing so by Christ. So again, Santa Claus is actually a blending of several characters into one. St. Nicholas, the pagan god Thor, and the Dark Helper of St. Nicholas. It's very interesting as you look at the history of that. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. The God of this world likes to portray himself in certain ways, as an angel of light, even as we saw. I want you to notice here Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Notice here it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Notice that statement, in the sides of the north. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." Notice his goal, his whole ambition was to be like the Most High. Satan always has his counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice here again it says, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." I believe the clouds there is a reference to God's glory. "I will be like the Most High." I talked about the anagrams. Of course, I've already mentioned Santa. And actually, if you rearrange the letters of Claus, you can get Lucas. Claus, and many consider, is an anagram of Lucas. Now, Lucas is a New Age code name for Lucifer. Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, also is a code name for Lucifer. And what I think was interesting as I was doing some study on this, Old Nick is actually a British name for the devil. You think about Old Saint Nick. Nicholas is a common German name for the devil. So it's interesting, Lucifer says, "I want to be like the Most High God." I do not believe it's any surprise then that we see that Lucifer, Santa Claus, has taken on several characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Even as I said, Lucifer wants to be like the Most High God. So with that said, notice this statement in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. We were quizzed on the names found in this verse. Actually, we'll look at verses 6 and 7. It says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment, and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." According to the movie, I've not seen the whole thing, but I've seen bits and pieces of it, because often the movie would be playing in stores and all that this time of year. But the movie Miracle on 34th Street, according to this story, and I had to look it up to understand the full impact of the story, because like I say, I know bits and pieces of the movie. But a man named Chris Kringle had a job playing Santa Claus at Macy's in New York City. Skeptical Susie finally believes in Chris Kringle, Santa, and her mother says, "You must believe in Mr. Kringle and keep right on believing. You must have faith in him." Did you hear that statement? You must have faith in him. And I believe that's where that saying is, "I believe," these signs, "I believe," in relation to Santa Claus. And adults are doing that. This was amazing. But Mr. Kringle gives Susie a house. Is that right, according to the story? What's interesting, John 14:2 says the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing us a place, a mansion in heaven. But what is interesting is I was doing some study out on this. The term Chris Kringle actually means little Christ child in German. It's interesting. Satan, Lucifer, wants to have his counterfeit. I want you to notice some comparisons, even as I mentioned here. He wants to be like the Most High God. According to Zechariah 2:6, Satan supposedly says what? Three words. Ho, ho, ho. Did you know that's found in the Bible? You don't need to turn there. Let me quote this for you. Zechariah 2:6 says, "Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord." The miracle plays of Europe pictured the devil as saying, "Ho, ho, ho, what a fellow am I." It's interesting. Lucifer, Satan, says, "Ho, ho, ho." And again, that's a statement that's drawn indirectly from Old Testament prophets. Also, he has red apparel. It's interesting. Isaiah 63, verse 2, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, says, "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel?" Interesting. Lucifer wants to be like the Most High God. Also, he flies through the air. Notice with me Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I came across some interesting statements about this in my study of the history of all of that. Revelation 19, verse 11. Notice here in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming, as he's coming as a righteous judge. Revelation 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Notice he's seen coming through the heavens. He's coming on a white horse. Now Santa supposedly flies through the sky with reindeer and a sled, but not before 1821. I thought this was interesting. As we were sitting at Runza last week, there were a couple of things I was reminded of. Santa Claus is coming to town. I kept hearing that saying over, and so I asked my wife, I said, "Have you got the point yet? Santa Claus is coming to the town." But also I was reminded that Grandma got run over by a reindeer. That's how Grandpa and the singer truly believes. But before 1821, Santa did not use reindeer and sled. Listen to this statement. "On the eve of December 6th, the myth told that this bearded, white-haired old saint rode through the skies on a white horse." That was changed in 1821. That's from a book when Santa was a shaman. The poem, "The Children's Friend," published in 1821, changed the white horse to reindeer. Deuteronomy 33:26 says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky." I do not believe it's an accident that Santa Claus is portrayed as flying through the air. Again, Lucifer wants to be like the Most High God. Also, again, he lives in the north. Psalm 48, verse 2, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king." The passage that we saw earlier, Isaiah 14:13, remember it says, "I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Ezekiel 8:14, talking about the Jerusalem temple, speaks of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. What I think is interesting is, in the context of Ezekiel 8:14, it's talking about the abominations in worship of false gods. But again, the north country. He also has white hair and a white beard. It's interesting as you see the, in fact, I'm close here, Revelation 1:14, as you see the description of the Lord Jesus Christ, verses 12 and following. And again, this is the true picture of Jesus. He's not the long-haired hippie in the paintings that we see. Revelation 1, verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and behold, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, the chest, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." Again, it's interesting that Santa Claus is portrayed as having white hair and a white beard. He also has feet like as they've been in a fire. Did you catch that? Revelation 1, verse 15. "His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters." I think it's amazing how many details Satan uses to portray his counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus Christ is portrayed as having feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. I'll give you a quote later, but again, even from history, we see it's interesting that Santa Claus, of course, visits where? Fireplaces. His feet are as if they burned in a fire. Something else about Santa Claus is he's a carpenter, right? Mark chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" What is interesting, as I was doing some reading on this, the symbol of the god Thor is a hammer. It's a hammer. Of course, Santa Claus, about this time of year, before today, he's portrayed as in his workshop with a hammer. And he has little helpers, right? He has little elves helping him make all the toys for the children. As you think about his little helpers, the elf, an elf actually is a wandering spirit. I don't know if you knew this or not, but an evil spirit, a devil. Literally, Satan Claus has his little helpers. Remember when Lucifer was cast out of heaven? He took angels with him, evil spirits with him. So again, he has his little helpers. But he's a carpenter. He's building toys for children. He's also a giver of gifts. Notice with me James chapter 1. James chapter 1. He's a giver of gifts. And many today are thinking about the good gifts they received from Santa. Of course, their parents aren't telling them that it actually came from them. But they're thinking about what they received from Santa, not the good gifts from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from Santa." I'm sorry. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of Christmas." I mean, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Again, we see here this perfect image, this perfect counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also making a list. According to Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is making a list. And he's going to check that list at the Great White Throne Judgment. Of course, the saying is, Santa is making a list. He's checking it twice. He's finding out who's naughty and nice. But again, he's making a list, just like the Lord of Glory. He also sits upon a throne. Most of the time you see Santa sitting in the malls or stores, he's not sitting on a folding chair in many cases. He's sitting on a throne. It's interesting, the Lord of Glory is coming to sit on a throne someday. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Again, Lucifer has his counterfeit of the Lord of Glory. We also see that he's omniscient. He knows everything. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Here's his omniscience. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. The counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, I think also of the song that I heard a lot when I was a kid and a teenager. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. Of course, then he tells about all the things of why he's not getting anything for Christmas. He put a tack on teacher's chair and somebody snitched on him. But again, the Lord Jesus Christ is omniscient. Satan wants to portray Santa Claus as being omniscient also. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's also omnipotent. Is there anything that Santa can't do? Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Our world likes to say, is anything too hard for Santa? Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Revelation 19, verse 6, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's also portrayed as omnipresent. Came across this article from the scientific journal Spy magazine. This article was written in January 1990. And they constructed a scientific analysis of Santa Claus. And here's what they concluded. Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with, thanks to the different time zones and the rotation of the earth, assuming he travels east to west, which seems logical. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. Did you hear that? This is to say that for each house, Santa has one one-thousandth of a second to park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up the chimney, back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. 1/1,000th of a second to do all of that. A total trip of 75.5 million miles, not counting stops to do what most of us do at least once every 31 hours, plus feeding and so on. This means that Santa's sleigh is moving at 650 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. The payload of the sleigh adds another interesting element. Assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, about 2 pounds, the sleigh is carrying 321,300 tons. Right? You multiply by that by 2,000, you get how many pounds. This increases the payload, not even counting the weight of the sleigh, to 430 tons. 3,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates enormous air resistance. The lead pair of reindeer will absorb 14.3 quintillion joules, measurement of energy, per second. Did you hear that? 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second. In short, they will burst into flame almost instantly and create deafening sonic booms in their wake. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.26 thousandths of a second. Santa, meanwhile, will be subjected to centrifugal forces 17,500.06 times greater than gravity. A 250-pound Santa, which seems ludicrously slim, would be pinned to the back of the sleigh by 4,315,015 pounds of force. Again, that's Spy magazine, January of 1990. But Santa Claus is omnipotent. He can do anything, just like the Lord of glory. He's also coming again. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He comes again year after year. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and following. In relation to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep. All right, that's talking about, it's a term referring to somebody who's already passed away, who's already in the grave. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Our mouse was stirring evidently and got fried this morning. This church mouse out in the back there. But you think about the statement that was made. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Santa is coming to town. But what I think is interesting as we're looking at this here, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Remember the 'twas the night before Christmas, what it says? His eyes, how they twinkled. It's amazing. Almost to the letter, Satan has his counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also worshipped as God, small g. Came across another article, this article from The Onion. It's an article of satire. It's written in 1994. It's entitled, Santa Claus, Ho, 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 I Am God. I love visiting each and every one of your homes, stuffing your stockings with toys and enjoying the milk and cookies you leave for me. But mostly I love Christmas because it's the celebration of the birth of my son, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. You see, I'm God. Oh, don't I look familiar? I'm old. I have a white beard. I love everyone. I'm the same God as the one you and your mommy and daddy worship on Sundays. Okay, I admit it. I'm not God. But I'm better than God. I'm jollier. And I give you real toys, not boring old psalms and empty promises you can only collect on when you die. Worship me, not him. Worship Santa. I am God. Notice me, Matthew chapter 4. This passage came to my mind as I was reading that. Matthew chapter 4. You remember back in Isaiah 14, we saw that Lucifer's whole goal was to be worshipped like the Most High God. It's interesting, even as Satan was dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at the context a little bit here leading up to what I want to focus on here. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and following. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God. Notice the doubt, even back in Genesis 3, that he always adds a statement or a question to it. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, Jesus answers Satan with Scripture. But here's what I want you to see in verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's Satan's goal, to get people to bow down and worship him. And I believe the Antichrist will someday take Satan up on his offer. He's going to be anti-Christ, opposing Christ. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Satan said to Jesus, the Lord of glory, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. It's interesting, the rock group Kiss, in a song, God of Thunder, has this statement in their song. I was born on Olympus, to my father a son. I was raised by the demons, trained to reign as the one. God of Thunder and rock and roll. I gather darkness to please me, and I command you to kneel before the God of Thunder and rock and roll. The spell you're under will slowly rob you of your virgin soul. Even Kiss recognizes the god Thor and Satan's worship. It seems the chimney tale came to us via Thor, the mythical god of fire and lightning. Satan and Thor are symbolized by the lightning bolt. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 18, he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Thor's name means thunder. The Thor story goes like this. Most families in the pre-patriarchal Scandinavian world would have an altar to Thor, their fireplace. Every year on this birthday, December 25th, of course, Thor would come down the chimney to his altar of fire and bring presents to the kiddies. Again, sound familiar? Oh yeah, Thor was nicknamed Klaus of the Cinders, or Sinterklaas, Santa Claus, because it was believed he would be singed as he went into the fireplace. Thor liked to wear furs in red for fire and white for snow. He is usually pictured with a long white beard. He had a palace in the north, interesting, and also he rode through the sky in a sled pulled by two goats named Gnasher and Crasher. Sound like someone else we've heard of? I'm reading this quote. Another of Thor's nicknames was Old Nick. Thor also carried a trident, the pitchfork of Satan. That's from Santa Claus, the great imposter. The fact is that Santa and Satan are alter egos, brothers. They have the same origin. On the surface, the two figures are polar opposites, but underneath they share the same parent, and both retain many of the old symbols associated with their father. From these two paths, he arrived at both the warmth of our fireplace and in the flames of hell. I want you to consider again. Millions of children today celebrating Christmas, and they're focusing on Satan Claus. I believe we have a responsibility to get the message out to our lost and dying world. You know, as children learn that Santa Claus is a myth, they're also going to believe that Jesus is a myth. You know, because after all, they've been taught in school that they've evolved from the lower life forms anyway. I want you to think about this. Satan always has his counterfeit. And we need to make sure our world understands there is the Lord of glory they're going to give an account to someday. Father, I pray that you'd help us with these things. Lord, even as we understand scripture and history, Satan always has his counterfeit of the Lord of glory. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to always beware of his counterfeits. Lord, it's not just related to Christmas. For everything that the Lord Jesus Christ stands for, Satan always has his counterfeit. Lord, help us to be aware of those things. But Father, I grieve today for millions of children all over our world are being deceived. They're being deceived. And Lord, as they learn that Santa is a myth, they're also going to understand that Jesus is a myth also, because they can't see Jesus. Lord, I pray for our young people. Lord, as we have an opportunity, Lord, help us to proclaim the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us with these things in Jesus' name. Amen.